How many of you know that most of those non-believers grew up in church, have had experiences in church, and they were all hurt, wounded, right? And they don't want to hear about it anymore. They don't want to hear about a Jesus that doesn't save and a Jesus that doesn't bring hope. But there's a Jesus that comes with power, and that's my Jesus. And what we do is we teach on, we have what a booth is called a confession booth. And I think I was sharing that with you guys at lunch Sunday. And in a confession booth, we set up this confession booth. And it's interesting because especially, you know, the non-believers will come, and usually we're at festivals and they come, you know, drunk or whatever, and they come up to your booth, your confession booth, and they jokingly come in and say, "Oh, I confess my sins." And we stop them and we say, "This isn't a booth for you to confess your sin. This booth is for us to confess how we have hurt you, wounded you, rejected you, that as a church, we have told you you weren't good enough, that you didn't average up. And let me tell you, the fire of God comes on them and it radically changes. Would you forgive us? Would you forgive us? On behalf of the church at large, I ask for your forgiveness. And let me tell you, you want to see revival? Go and set up a confession booth and see what happens. It's amazing. And one of the other booths we set up are dream booths, which this is one of the, this is a church that is really looking to seeking to do that. And that's why I want to come here so I can really pour out dream interpretation, how to go about it. So I've taught last 2 months now. So what we're going to do is we're going to just dive right in. Y'all ready? Yeah. We're going to dive right in. And basically tonight what we're going to look at is the methodology and the logical thinking behind dream interpretation. Because how many of you know it takes the Holy Spirit plus your ability to think? That's right. There's some reality to dream interpretation, and that's being able to properly process information. So that's what we're going to teach. So what I'd like everyone to do is get back in your groups of four or five people. Everyone get back into those groups. This is our Catholic exercise. Not really. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And did we block out all those names and email addresses? If we can, if my team can, if you guys can go and bounce around from the different groups, that would be great. What we're going to do is I'm going to give each of you a dream, okay? And your group is going to interpret the dream. It's called trial by fire. That's right. We're going to just throw you in. And so what we're going to do is each one of you, let's start out with a dream of the Bible dream. Do we have enough? This is a very short dream. You'll be very happy that this is the dream I gave you. This is your first one. Basically, what I want to show you is that even though you have only taken two classes, you may have gone to some conferences, you may have heard from, you read books on dream interpretation, which, by the way, I highly recommend Perry Stone's new book on dreams and visions. He has a Hebraic mindset. Perry Stone teaches on Israel. And so he... amazing book on dreams and visions if any of you are looking for a book. But what I'm going to show you through this is that even though you're in different groups and each of you have your own dream language, what you're going to do is you're going to be able to hear how each of you will come up with basically the same interpretation. Even though you have this different dream language, you will still pick up different nuances. That's why it takes a whole body to do this, not just one person. That's why we shouldn't only interpret our own dreams, but we should put them before our spiritual counsel or those that are in authority or accountability to us. So what we're going to do is go ahead and as a group, I want you to really dive into that dream and write down the sentence. Whoever's scribing, write down the sentence because you will be speaking it in front of everybody. Does that make sense? Just write down the interpretation. And, yeah, write down the interpretation. If you guys will go around to the different groups, that'd be great. Yeah, I am. Okay, good. Lord, I ask that you would release the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of prophecy be released among you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, that you would bring the interpretation. Okay, someone from this group, are you ready? Who's gonna stand up, read the dream, and then read your interpretation of the dream?
Lots.
Okay, if everyone can... Okay, you ready? And then you can smack them over the head with the microphone.
So just read the...
Yeah, just read the dream.
Okay. In the dream, I simply dropped a Bible in water. It was submerged, and all the pages were wet. And you just want me to...
Yeah, what'd y'all come up with?
Of course, the Bible is living water. The fact that they dropped it in the water, if it's a believer, which we're kind of leaning towards that it is, that it's an act of dropping it in, so they're getting submerged, or that the word is submerged, and it's going to be, you know,
very
both
good.
Ways.
That's good. Someone from this group. Yes. Oh, okay. Sorry. Sound men, man. It's like they're your leash or something. Okay, stand up, read the dream, and come up, just let your interpretation roll.
Okay, the dream is, I'm going to read the whole dream.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. My dream was short and distinct. In the dream, I simply dropped a Bible in water. It was submerged and all the pages were wet. And the interpretation we came up with was every part of the word is submerged in the Holy Spirit. And again, we're seeing the Bible representing truth, revelation being submerged in the word, and also the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what we want to make sure we do in interpretation is we want to say, how does this affect the dreamer's life? How is this effective to the dreamer? Okay, you guys? Yeah, how does it affect the dreamer?
My dream was very short and distinct. In the dream, I simply dropped a Bible in water. It was submerged and all the pages were wet. We came up with God wants her to let go of her dry interpretation and take her to a deeper level of understanding of the word and saturating the word with
there
the Holy
go.
Spirit in every area of, you know, every word of the Bible in every area of her life.
There you go. Good.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah. Sound men are supposed to be quiet.
I'm changing groups.
Yeah. Okay.
That group didn't look like they really wanted to.
They kicked me out once already. I'm feeling like that guy on American Idol. Little fat kid. Okay. The same dream.
Oh, Lord.
The word is downloaded into his spirit. The dreamer should release or speak the word, and he can be assured that the Holy Spirit anointing will be present in everything spoken from it.
Great, good. And where you kind of got that was from the word simple. I simply put the Bible in. And I taught a class earlier today, and it's very interesting. When you put people in groups on that dream, they come up with a positive interpretation. Out of the class that I had, two people came up with the person's watering down the word. They're just watering down the word. I said, you two are very prophetic. Hey, you are watering down the word. But if you put people in groups, what happens is what's called groupthink, and usually we'll lean to the positive aspect of what the dream means. And that's why it's important to... But do you see how basically we came up with the same interpretation? We really did. There was some weight on some, right? There was some unsurety on others, right? But you really felt the weight on one dream, but it really was, if you listen to it, really was the same interpretation, right? One had the weight of the revelation on it. Do you see that? Now what we're going to do is we're going to give you one more. And this is a little bit of a longer dream, okay? Remember, if you are having a difficult time coming up with the interpretation, pray and ask the Holy Spirit to release the revelation of the dream. Remember, dreams are spirit-to-spirit communication. Hello, hello, hello. Okay, guys. How do you feel y'all did on this one? Yeah, you think you did? Who thinks they really got it? Oh, yeah. You didn't use my teammate, did you? Did you interpret that dream, Kyle? Okay, good. Good. Kyle's like, I don't know what that dream means. Okay, yes. Okay, read the dream.
Okay, in the dream it says, saw a large gathering of women, seemed to be Christians, and that where there was a disagreement arguing over various issues. In the midst, there was one particular sister that was quarreling with me. All of a sudden, I noticed a trailer, a huge trailer, rolled over all the people in the gathering. Only two of us were safe from death. I also saw that the numbers of the members in the church dwindled due to death and other circumstances. In fact, in my church, only my pastor's wife remained and was preaching to a smaller congregation. I was present in the congregation and seemed to be able to influence a lot of the people in the congregation. In real life, my husband indicated that while he was waking my daughter up as she slept, while he was waking his daughter up, she kept talking about heaven and hell. I'm a little confused.
Okay, and what did you guys get?
Okay, there is a lack of submission within the church of like a common goal of ministry. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing, so they're all disagreeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to one common thing, I guess. We think that the trailer represents death. All the people caught up in the bickering were overtaken by death. And because of that, the numbers of the church were dwindling. And I'm not sure about the pastor's wife.
Okay.
But she said that she could influence. So I think it's more of a warning for her. She's supposed to impart something into her church that they're having a lack of submission on, a lack of agreement. She's supposed to impart something that is going to, that is a heaven or hell issue, a life or death issue. And because of that, I assume her daughter is affected by what's going on. She's dreaming about heaven and hell in the church. Some people are dying. So I believe it's a life or death issue that God's trying to give this woman a warning on, because she has the leadership ability.
And now, where did you guys get the part for the lack of submission?
I just, anytime there's quarreling within the church, it's lack of submission due to like it, when there's no common goal in ministry, people aren't unified. It's usually due to
nobody's submitting to my vision.
Oh, it's usually due to one person wants to do this in ministry, one person wants to do that.
You sound like an expert.
And people get lost in translation. People,
yeah.
You know, when you're not unified, you know, to a common goal, then...
Great. Okay. Great. Excellent. And what about you guys? You ready? Yep. Who? You?
It's the same dream.
Yeah, same dream.
Our interpretation, well, we're still deliberating, but basically it's to bring unity mm-hmm. to the body. And to prepare to be a spotless bride for the return of Christ.
Okay, great. And did you get the part where she's called to impart and influence? Did you guys get that part where she's called to? And we always have to make sure we have to say, how does this affect the dreamer? Why is this dreamer having this? Remember, that's good, great. And that is really the core of the dream, is that the unity and again, lack of submission. Any time that you are actively involved in a dream, if the dreamer is actively involved in the dream, it is called an intrinsic dream, and 95% of the time it's about a character issue or about something about them, something they're supposed to do, whether it is a strategy dream, a dream of impartation, a healing dream, a character-changing dream. If the dreamer is just viewing the dream, it's called an extrinsic dream, and that means it's about someone else. So you always have to remember, if the dreamer is actively involved in the dream, it's all about them and what role they play in it, okay? So the core of the dream really is lack of submission, unity, and her ability to influence and to bring influence into a situation. Okay, guys.
Okay, we came up with it as being a warning, a cleansing of the church, mm-hmm. kind of as a warning, the Lord warning of dissension in the church, revealing character issues in the women in the church.
Character issues in the women. Kind
of showing as, well, we kind of saw the trailer as more of a transition transitional situation, and then when it was all over, it was basically the remnant was left.
Right, and I love that. And here's where they picked up on the trailer. Trailers reflect a time of transition. A trailer is something that is seasonal. And so it's in this transition, sometimes in churches, God will stir things up and allow stuff to be stirred up in a church. A lot of pastors have to get this vision because sometimes it's difficult for a pastor. They'll allow him to stir some stuff up. They go through a transition because God's getting rid of people that aren't called to that vision. And sometimes pastors are like, where'd all my people go? But we really didn't want them anyway. They need to go somewhere else and where they're connected to that vision. Otherwise, you get through the transition, and that's why they saw a lot of death and a smaller portion of people. But she has the impartation. God is saying to her, you are called to influence the situation. Great. Well, it can be a trailer from a truck. Yeah, could. And again, we say transition too, but you guys hit it on the head too, because that transition did bring death. So it did bring the end of something, the beginning of a new thing. Okay, guys, what'd you guys get?
You wanted to read the dream again?
No, just the interpretation.
We got the movement of generally is killing the body. Like the movement, the intercessor aspect of the whole thing. That was kind of the weight of it, and Bridget brought that across. That
they got the women were quarreling. Jason thinks that women shouldn't be preaching, but I digress.
No, she does good. The intercessor has influence to pray into quarreling. Movie trailer. Showing what will happen. Mm-hmm. And then the generation, the daughter, being the next generation to take this movement. And the trailer, the movement of God pruning. And there was a lot of other talk. That was just
a lot of other talk. That you're doing right now.
No, I mean, we can. Yeah. I mean, I can say more, but yeah. It's just. Okay. You know, I personally saw the trailer, like it said on it, sectarianism.
Okay. Well, here's one thing that we don't want to do is we don't want to add to the dream when we see, and because we can do that, we try to stick with the actual elements of the dream, because if not, us prophetic people, we take a dream way off in the middle of left field and it never meant that, because we can see. We see things, but we have to know where our seer gift begins and where our seer gift ends, because it's very easy to put in our own influence of what we see, and so we have to really interpret the elements and stay there. What we're going to do is we're going to actually scribe this dream for you guys, okay? But do you see how we each got an element of the dream? But the core of the dream was there was something going on. There was a cleansing taking place. Many were purged off, and she was given the ability to have influence into that place. Okay, trailer represents a season of transition, and in that transition, there will be a lot of death. And death isn't always bad in dreams. Okay, death is not always bad in dreams, and I'm gonna give you an example. Last night, I was at a restaurant, and a woman wanted me to interpret a dream for her. I'd never met her before, and she was in from out of town, and I said, oh, you know, no problem. So she kind of gets like this, and she starts to tell me the dream. And she said in the dream, she had there was a baby. It was a blonde-haired baby, and it was sickly. The baby was sickly, and she had to paint the baste it. She had to put the baby in a roasting pan, baste it with, you know, oil, cook the baby. And then she, her family forced her, you know, they were upset, but she was eating the baby. And as she was telling me, she was crying because she was so ashamed. Because I asked her, I said, how do you feel about the dream? And she said, I felt ashamed because I felt like I was having to eat this baby. And so I said, what would the normal question be as a dream interpreter? You would say, when did you have this dream? She said, 4.5 years ago. And I said, what was going on in your life 4.5 years ago? Because you always remember what's going on in your life when you have that dream. And I said, did you have anything, what were you babying? at that time? What was your baby? Because babies represent either something that you're babying, have responsibility for, are caring for. It's your responsibility. Something that's new in an immature state that you're responsible for. And she said, well, I was in charge of an alternative school. She started an alternative school. Sickly child. She started an alternative school. And I said, and it consumed you, didn't it? And she said, yes. And I said, and your family wasn't very happy with it, was it? You know, they weren't happy. She said, no, they weren't happy at all. And my husband forced me to shut it down. Now, where would I have gotten that from, consuming? What is she was feeding off of? She was feeding it. She was feeding off of it. That's not what she, I said, but you know what? Here's, in the dream afterwards, she had its twin baby. She had the twin. It was a twin. And then she had, in the dream, she was holding a blonde-haired baby, its twin baby, but it was healthy. But her focus was on that. Why was she eating it? And I said, but the good part is that you did what you could to infuse the Holy Spirit into that situation. You know, she came to baste the Holy Spirit, to oil, put oil on it. But what ended up happening, it became unbalanced and sickly. She became off balance with it. Now, here's what's interesting. And she's just bawling because, I mean, it's just hitting home. Because why? Now, the question is, why did the Lord give her the interpretation 4 years later? Because it's the season to release hope for that blonde-headed, healthy baby. So the Lord brought the interpretation to deal with the shame that she was dealing with. And I was able to minister to her in that area. But can you imagine how life-changing this is for people? That struggle with these dreams that they have and they remembered. And that she had no clue. Didn't even believe in dream interpretation. Asked me quietly, could you help me with this dream? And when you're able to release the word of the Lord and the Spirit, life-changing, because now she's prepared to enter into that next season with her healthy baby. I said, it's time to pray for that healthy baby, because now you understand balance. Now you understand, right? So death isn't always bad in a dream. It's the end of one thing and the beginning of another. If you are having death dreams and someone has died, I always like to take the two approach. One, pray for protection over that person, because I've learned not to flip dreams. I've had too many occasions when it really came to pass. But death dreams, I also pray for the ending of something in someone's character, in the beginning, or job, something material, something in their nature is coming to an end. They're in, going through a dying process, and it's the beginning and the release of something new. Health, okay? Does that make sense? So if you, who can someone scribe for me, someone from my team? Would you? Thank you. I appreciate you. I can't harass you like I harass Patty, though. Okay. So, Laura, if you could read the dream, do you have them? We're going to scribe this out for you. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to scribe it out.
Okay. Large gathering of women. It seemed to be Christians, and they're arguing. Okay, and there's one particular sister who's quarreling with the dreamer.
Yes. She's writing women Christians arguing so that she can remember. This is her anchor, and now she scribes a little bit differently than others. So, and I like the way she scribes because it's just a different approach to it. Okay. Dreamer involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All of a sudden, then she noticed a huge trailer roll over onto all the people in the gathering. Okay. Only two of us were saved from death. Also, I saw that the numbers of the members in the church dwindled due to the death and other circumstances. Okay. In fact, in my church, only my pastor's wife remained and was preaching to a smaller congregation. I was present in the congregation and seemed to be able to influence a lot of the people in the congregation. In real life, my husband indicated that while he was waking up, he's waking my daughter up, she kept talking about heaven and hell.
Great. Now, the reason why the end of that does make a difference is because when the dreamer has what's called soulish interjection, we want to pay attention to that because it can give us insight into what's going on in the spirit realm. So what's happening in the spirit realm is that in their home, they're dealing with some warfare issues, right? Because that's what that would reflect to a childlike mind. All right, women, Christian women arguing. What do you think that just reflects community, right? Most likely the community that she's in, because we want to make it personal. She's in a community where there's a lot of arguing going on. A trailer comes in and rolls over them. Now, that could be a trailer that you live in. My guess is that it's a trailer that's hooked onto a truck or a trailer. Neither here nor there. Trailers are temporary, and they also carry a lot of baggage. Baggage, yeah. They carry a lot of baggage. So they are being influenced by people's baggage, right? And it's bringing a lot of death. There's only two survivors. Why two? Two speaks of trial and testing. Trial and testing. There's a trial and testing that is about to come. The number two in general speaks of trial and testing. Mm-hmm. One speaks of unity, two speaks of trial and testing. Whenever you have two, always remember it this way. When you have two, there's always something going on. It's always somebody's opinion going on. One's always great. It's just me, myself, and I. Five, really bad. No. Five, grace. Five speaks of grace. Yeah, grace. Whenever you speak. Remember, if you go through all the dreams in the Bible, each, the bread maker and the cup bearer, three. And that was a literal number, 3 days later. Seven cows, 7 years. 11 stars, 11 brothers. Numbers are very literal in dreams. Every dream in the Bible where there was a number, it was literal. Okay? Dreams are literal. Decrease in members and death. There's a lot of arguing going on. There's some baggage that's happening that's causing this ruckus in this community. There's a trial and testing coming. And it will end with a decrease in membership of what's going on in that church. Why the pastor's wife preaching? Now then, this is after. So we've had the trial testing. Now we're coming through the testing. Why is the pastor's wife? Anyone? Yeah, no. The pastor didn't make it through the trial. I'm left here preaching. The pastor's wife, this is interesting. You generally want to look for where the Holy Spirit is in the dream. Where does the Holy Spirit? Oftentimes, the pastor's wife will reflect the Holy Spirit in a dream. The pastor being the head, the authority, can reflect Jesus in your dream. Not literally the pastor. Could be literal, but generally not. If there's any symbolism in the dream, it is not literal. Do not break dream rules. If it's symbolic, everything's symbolic. If it's literal and can really happen, we know that trailers aren't going to come in and mow over the people, so that's symbolic. So the pastor's wife is symbolic, okay? So we can't say, dreamer, if she didn't know this, she'd go up to the pastor and say, oh, there's a trial and testing coming, and you're going to be gone, and your wife's going to be leading worship, right? But that's not the case, because then that would be breaking dream rules, and that would make her literal, and we can't do that. You see how important it is to understand your biblical principles. Okay, and your dream principles. So, pastor's wife, huh? Pastor generally represents Jesus, someone in authority over you. Your boss, your husband, your pastor, a judge, a police officer, anyone that is an authority figure will reflect Jesus or God the Father. Well, we don't know if he died. What we do know is the pastor's wife is preaching now. The Holy Spirit has been released. If your intercessors brought you this dream, or somebody in your church brought you this, now then, here's the deal. When you have a dream like this, if you do not have the authority or the influence to speak into your pastor's life or the intercessory team, it is for prayer and prayer alone. You must have influence and authority to speak in to your pastor's life or what's going on. Okay? Otherwise, it's for prayer and prayer alone. Where do we get our influence and authority? Favor with God, favor with man. Right? There's a level of influence and authority I have here because I have been given that level of influence and authority from Hope Fellowship. Right? So now I have a place to speak. Had I just been perfect example, I had somebody from my dream class email a leader a dream with a prophetic word, and that person had absolutely no business sending that word. Why? He has no favor, no influence there. Was it a great word? Excellent word. I really did. But what happened is it caused disunity because that person really didn't have any favor. It wasn't well received had it been gone through the channels that it needed to. Submit it to your intercessory team. Now, if this was given to you by someone, if this was given into the intercessory team, the intercessory team would say, aha, this is done by the Lord. And I think that we can still pray against disunity because disunity is not of God. He's just saying, warning, don't be caught off guard. Don't be caught unaware. Something's coming. But guess what's going to come out? See, it's just all about infusing hope. The Holy Spirit's been released, and the dreamer, God's saying specifically to the dreamer, you have the influence to impart into this season of the church. When it's given to them, not forced. Yes. Yeah. Well, and time does, you know, especially when you have the dreams that stay with you, they're called kalam. It's the Hebrew word for to bind firmly to. And I love that because that's why you have these dreams that float away as you wake up. They're spirit, and it's like you're trying to catch them. I did it this morning. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And then you have the dreams that stay with you forever, like that dream she had that she just, and would actually invoke emotion over it. Those are the ones that God is trying to infuse hope into you, saying there's something coming, but I'm not going to let loose. I'm going to speak to you. Okay. All right. Y'all want to do some of y'all's dreams?
Yes.
Well, I was going to do your wife's dream. Were you eating it?
No.
Oh. No, then we can't do your dream. Actually, I promised your wife we'd do hers first. So.
Should I?
We'll get to you. You can turn around your chairs, yes.
Leslie.
Isn't it interesting, though, people who have not really studied dream interpretations, really what I want to give you is hope. Do not be afraid to step out into that street and start interpreting dreams. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit's your guide. The Holy Spirit is the one who interprets the dream, and that releases all the pressure from you. He interprets the dream, and it's okay to look at the dreamer and go, I'm just not getting anything. Because see, it's not me who interprets the dream. It is the Lord. And that releases all the pressure it takes from you. So I encourage you, I hope that this encouraged you to go out and start moving. If it's just that you give one sentence and ask the Holy Spirit and pray with the person, or ask the Holy Spirit for just the core of the dream, just one sentence, He is faithful to give it to you. Unless He's holding back on the dream for a purpose. Sometimes He does that. He'll hold back on a part of the dream and won't allow it to be unlocked. Sometimes He holds back on the full dream. And oftentimes we as people who study dream interpretation, if you don't understand and have a real understanding that it's He that interprets dreams, not me, I can study symbols all day long, and I encourage you to study all your symbols, know them, just like a pastor goes to seminary and studies all the scripture, but it is the Holy Spirit that brings those scriptures up in a message and releases it, right? He's just the conduit. Right? That's all we are, is the conduit. So I encourage you, one of the biggest tests in dream interpretation is overcoming the, it's me. I'm doing this. Either it's the glory or the gold issue, or, you know, for the honor and the glory, or it's the, I can't do this, it's not me. But there's always a test. But we all are prophetic, right? All of us are prophetic. We all have the ability to hear from God. We all can interpret dreams because it is prophecy. It's the revelation, okay?